Hi, I'm Jeff, and I'm a therapist.
And I'm Tyler, and I'm a patient.
We're going to talk about trauma, healing, and everything. Everything is traumatic.
Tonight, today, and this afternoon, we're going to talk about hemorrhoids and cheerophobia. And me and Jeff, cheerphobia. I keep overemphasizing that O because I see it and it's like cheerophobia. Fake holidays. We're going to come up with some fake holidays. All this and more, and everything is traumatic tonight.
And these fake holidays should be real holidays. So we're going to reach out to the powers that be and see if anybody that has any political power can make some of this stuff happen.
That's right. We're going to pitch these holidays to the government and see if they'll make them a federal holiday. Because we know they're listening. They just try to sabotage us.
Federal, I mean, if it's state, it helps us in the if it happens in our state. But federal would help everybody.
Okay. Well, we'll try and get it to the state first. And then see if it can go federal.
Yeah. Yeah.
But before we go into it, of course, you know it, I know it, and everyone, all 12 of you that are listening know it. Shoutouts.
Time for shout out. And when I think of hemorrhoids, I think of our faithful listeners, starting with Tiffy Stallsworth, Jacob Boyd, Seth Young, the person in Alaska that's listening. Did you say there's somebody in Alaska or Idaho or something? Where is it?
So far, because it's a new month, it's a new beginning. It has started over, but so far, most of our listeners are coming from Tennessee, but there is one individual in Illinois that is really digging us. Okay.
We love you, Illinois listener. So thank you. Continue to listen. This one might end it for everybody. I mean, this might be the least or most popular episode we have.
We don't know yet. But what we do know is what we're going to talk about. And I think we're just going to jump right into this, right, Jeff?
We're just going to dive in. So you, my friend, we talked a little bit before, and you have not experienced hemorrhoids that you're aware of. So just picture this. You are using the bathroom. Mm. We don't want to get too graphic here, but basically the sit-down type, number two. Mm-hmm. And everything's fine, right? There's no pain.
Yeah.
You're just doing your business.
Okay.
And you wipe, and you look at the paper, and it's just blood. It looks like your jugular vein has been cut. Oh. There's just blood, bright red blood,
Jeff,
on the toilet
Jeff,
paper.
Jeff.
Yeah.
I probably 100% have hemorrhoids then, because I've seen that. I've had that happen.
Okay. Yeah, you got them then.
Oh,
but there's not always pain. So, but those are the better ones because it's just blood vessels. It's like, so your anus is incredibly, I mean, anus is actually pretty amazing. It does all kinds of things. I mean, it keeps you from like pooping your pants. I mean, it lets gas out, all that stuff. But
that's right.
Anyway, so there's blood vessels, and if they're just like too close to the surface or they pop, there's just a lot of blood.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very scary. And then you go to the doctor and you say, I'm dying, because you've always heard like blood means you're like internal bleeding or something. And then the doctor says, don't worry about it. Is it bright red blood? And you're like, yeah. And he goes, well, that's hemorrhoids.
Mm.
And you should probably take some fiber. You need to increase your fiber intake.
Oh, God. Okay. Yeah, because that's going to be kind of hard. I'm trying to do keto for the first time.
Yeah, so you got to eat some vegetables with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been trying to eat vegetables, more vegetables. With
throw a salad in there.
Yeah, definitely need a salad. I mean, yeah, I had no idea. You just diagnosed me with hemorrhoids, Dr. Snell.
But so that's the best case scenario. It's horrifying, but you're just like, okay, I know what that is. The worst case is pain. a throbbing kind of pain. It can be there when you are using the bathroom. It can be there when you're not using the bathroom. It can be itching and burning. Mm-hmm. And that's, it's just, yeah.
Well, so, Jeff, let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
Just out of curiosity, of course, I'm wondering, like, how high the hemorrhoid rate is in America, as opposed to maybe Europe, since they use more like bidets. And I'm wondering if toilet paper is like the connector here of like what's fucking up our assholes.
You know, I would say that that is a good point. Because a bidet. So I've never used a bidet. I've been in a hotel with a bidet, mm-hmm. and I didn't really know how to use it. Do you just sort of, have you used a bidet?
I've never used a bidet, but I've been curious about it because from what I understand, it is just water in your asshole, and that's what
cleans it. It cleans it like a little bath.
Like a little bath for your...
And then what do you use, like a like some kind of just like cloth napkin to sort of dry yourself? Yeah, like
a cloth or a napkin. I mean, that's what confuses me is like, how do they still not use toilet paper? You know?
I guess you just use like a, or you could use the toilet paper just to dry yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah.
It seems like a much more effective and or more humane way to clean yourself after using the bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah, it is kind of weird that, I'm wondering like, I mean, surely it is like a cloth or something, but yeah, I feel like Americans have more hemorrhoids because of like just how big the toilet paper industry is.
And I think it's because of the way we eat too. We eat so much processed food.
Mm-hmm.
And like every foreign country, they just go out in their yard and pick their food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been really bad about just eating restaurant and door dashing food for like the past 4 or 5 months, and I've just recently stopped. It's so easy, and it's so easy, good. And
it tastes so good, and it's cheap, relatively.
It's relatively cheap. Yeah,
it's very expensive to eat fresh.
Mm-hmm.
To cook a meal, to eat fresh, you know, and it's just so cheap to go get a couple of McDoubles.
Oh, God, it is. Oh, my God. How it is so easy to just get some McDoubles, Jeff.
Now, let's talk about this. They have this thing right now at Wendy's, who could be a sponsor. I'm not sure they want to sponsor the hemorrhoid issue.
Wendy's, if you're listening, honey, we're doing the hemorrhoid episode.
We're doing the hemorrhoid stuff. So they have this bag, big bag. It's $5. This is what you get.
Okay.
You get a sandwich, so either a McChicken or a small, like, Wendy's burger. We get one of those. Mm-hmm. You get chicken nuggets. You get fries. And you get a drink. $5.
Damn.
$5.
Damn, that's a good deal.
It's a great deal. Like, for, I mean, if you want hemorrhoids,
the new $5 hemorrhoid meal coming to you
comes with free hemorrhoids. But I mean, that's like enough food to feed maybe 1.5 people.
If what's you've got the half? Kids,
you can make like a child. But I mean, you could give the kid the fries and the nuggets.
Yeah,
you could share the drink and you could have the sandwich.
Yeah.
You could feed two people with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, but and then compare that to like cooking something at home, you know?
Yeah. So you're going to cook like a chicken dish, chicken and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to buy chicken, which probably is like, I don't know, it's probably like $5 or $6 a pound.
Yeah.
Vegetables, you know, let's say you buy a head of broccoli or you buy some frozen broccoli, that's $2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it takes you maybe 30, 45 minutes to cook it.
Cook it, and then you got to wash the dishes afterwards. And
man, instead of just throwing it away in a garbage can.
Yep, that's why they call it fast food. Wendy, sponsor us with your $5 hemorrhoid meal.
I mean, it's, I mean, it's, it'll fill you up.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have like a very set specific order I get from like Wendy's already. And that order's
what
like,
do you get from Wendy's?
I get the Baconator. And I
add, oh man, the Baconator is so good.
And then I add the crispy onions to it. And then I
the
get
Baconator delicious.
And then I get Baconator fries.
So is that with cheese and bacon bits?
This with cheese, bacon bits, and cheese sauce.
You know, Wendy's, if you're listening, Miss Wendy.
Miss Wendy, if you're listening.
We love the Baconator. I mean, the Baconator is a good sandwich.
It is.
And you can get it in any size. I mean, you get this triple Baconator or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a really good sandwich.
It's the official sandwich of everything is traumatic.
Yes. We would eat that every day.
If we could.
If you were our sponsor.
Yeah, and if you gave us money.
Yeah, if you gave us money, we'd use that money to buy Wendy's Baconator.
So what the hell? Come on, double dip here, Wendy.
Basically, you get to be the sponsor for the show. We're going to pay all the money back in Baconators. Mm-hmm. Or you can pay us in Baconators. I don't care.
Cut out just the
give
money.
Us a Baconator, yeah. Like a truck of Baconators.
Cut out the money and get those artery clogging Baconators in me with Baconator fries. And go ahead and throw bacon little bits into the fucking Diet Dr. Pepper I'm going to order. That's right. I'm going to relapse if I'm having Wendy's.
Relapse. They have a sandwich that I don't think is quite as well thought out, though that it has potential, but the Wendy's also has a nacho burger.
Mm.
And it's a hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
With queso on it.
Okay.
And corn chips.
Okay.
And corn.
Okay.
Like street corn kind of.
Yeah. Corn. I get what they're trying to go for. It's like, it's very, yeah. It's very good cultural appropriation there. Yeah. Wendy's. But I just,
you know, it's just not, it's, I don't think this is well thought out. I mean, the Baconator is an American classic.
Oh, yeah. It's, yeah. It probably released at the height of America's bacon obsession.
It's America at its best, the Baconator is.
It really is. Like, there's nothing quite, it's probably more American than a hot dog.
Honestly. Yeah, because, I mean, a hot dog doesn't have bacon, unless you put bacon on it.
Bacon and cheese on it. Oh, those are so good from Cookout, too.
And then, like, the whole name is even great. The Baconator. It's like the Terminator.
But it's
bacon. The Baconator.
The Baconator.
It's a very American. It's violent.
Come with me if you want me to clog your arteries. Those are terrible. The Arnold Schwarzenegger accents are out.
It's a really good sandwich.
That's a really good sandwich.
Yeah, every now and then they'll have the pub sandwich, which is like a pretzel bun.
I've tried that. Yeah.
With pub cheese, mm-hmm. They should put the Baconator on a pretzel bun. They do lots of research. They spend millions of dollars on research, but put the Baconator on a pretzel bun. It's a million seller, right? Oh,
yes.
Wouldn't that be great?
Yes, and it's definitely going to cause hemorrhoids.
Yeah, but nobody cares, man.
And so, but you mentioned you were having a flare up now.
Yeah, that was a joke.
Tyler, don't say that on air. How dare you?
I probably will be after this episode. You know, I've had some really bad flare-ups. And another product is I can't think of the name right now. But there are these wipes, hemorrhoidal wipes.
Oh, they're like
magic. You can get them like, yeah. Who's the hemorrhoid people? I can't remember what their product name is. I'm so sorry. But they're these wet wipes. And they have witch hazel on them. Mm-hmm. And it's, you just use them to wipe. And it soothes the burning. And it really does work.
Oh.
it's a it's like a bidet, but it's so it's a moist towelette kind of thing.
This is a physical.
And you use it to wipe it, gets you clean, and it also like helps the swelling.
This is like a fabric bidet. It sounds like is what you're describing to me, Jeff.
Yeah, it's really soothing. And then if you have the really bad hemorrhoids, so there's external and internal hemorrhoids. If you have the that gets the external, the wipe. Mm-hmm. If you have the really bad ones, there's two options. There's the suppository, which I don't care for. I remember those as a kid, and it just a lot of gooey oozing out of your butt. And then there's the tube that you have to insert into your rectum and squeeze it, but it has some kind of shark oil or something shark in it, shark cartilage or something, and it shrinks them, and it smells like fish. But it does the job. But that's for the serious hemorrhoid.
How
that's if you got them bad.
How often did you have to use a suppository in your childhood, Jeff?
Well, I think suppositories were a child. I mean, I'm a different generation than you are, right?
Yes, yes.
But I think all medicine came in suppositories when I was young.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a time. No wonder everyone was fucking wild and free in the fucking 70s. Yeah. If everyone's
that's
getting...
how I took my vitamins every morning, was just to
was a suppository.
Yep.
See, I was on the Flintstones vitamin kick.
Yeah, that was the oral kick. And yeah. We were.
Us 90s were.
I don't think I had a whole lot of suppositories, but I just remember it being unpleasant because right. They melt inside of your. But and then I guess it oozes out. It just felt weird to have the suppository thing.
So. No, yeah, I get it. I get it. It's just funny. Like in the 70s, it was all stick this medicine up your ass. In the 90s, it was all stick it in your mouth.
Like, it's just the doctor's like, hey, you think they'll stick this in their ass? Prescribe it.
Oh, wow. Oh, what good hemorrhoid talk.
There are, speaking one more suppository thing. They do suppositories with, and I can't, I'm losing all my things today. There's a medicine that makes you, that's for nausea, that they can give you a shot of or throw in your IV, and it's also in a suppository. It's a suppository, the butt is a good way to utilize the blood because there's lots of blood vessels there, so it goes right into your and I don't know if you may know this, but I don't know a whole lot about illicit drugs, but apparently boofing is a good way to take certain illegal drugs, and that's shoving it up your butt.
Yep
boofing that's opioids, heroin, things like that. If you don't want to shoot it up, you boof it.
Which is really ironic to do on an opioid. Because you can't shit after you take one.
That's right. Reason I know this is I follow a opioid Reddit thing. And it's the most interesting thing ever. So it's like somebody will come in and say, hey, I just got some opioids. And everybody is, and they're like, how should I take it? And then everybody goes, don't take any opioids because you're going to get addicted. But if you do, make sure you check it for fentanyl and boof it. It's like the don't ever do this. But, don't ever do it. It will ruin your fucking life. But if you do, be safe. Check it for fentanyl and boof it.
And boof it because you can't throw it up afterwards. Or butt throw it up.
Right. I think apparently it's just, if you're not going to shoot it, boofing is the next best thing. You can like, these are for what we're talking about right now is just for, it's not for practical usage.
No, but don't.
We don't want anybody boofing anything.
If you got a, if you got a prescription, don't listen to
don't
us.
Don't boof it.
And boof
but,
it.
Like, so you can do the oral, you take a pill, but it doesn't do the stuff that you want it to do because it's that's how you're supposed to take it. So you can like burn it like on foil and like inhale the fumes. And then you can shoot it up, but a lot of people don't want to shoot up because it just like
Jeff, you're just giving instructions.
you boof it. Boof it.
Boof it, don't shoot it. That's I want a shirt that says that.
We could have shoes that instead of just do it, just boof it.
Just boof it.
Just boof it.
You know, speaking of boofing, what a wonderful transition here. I want to talk about some cheer phobia.
And you're not talking about like cheerleader phobia.
No, this is not a fear of cheerleaders. This is a fear of being happy.
Yeah.
And
okay, dive into that a little bit.
Well, you know, I think it's something I've always kind of struggled with is like accepting when I'm in a happy place. And it's a little unnerving. It's a little like waiting for like the hammer to drop, so to speak, like waiting for like the next bad thing to happen or this next thing to happen or, oh, car's going to break down or, oh, this bill's going to come up that I forgot about. Like, it's just kind of, it's
Can you hard. Think of the last time you had more than a day where you were happy in a row?
Yeah. There's days where I'm happy in a row. Like, I can't sit here and say that I have very like severe depression. I have a very mild depression, I feel. I still force myself to do things because I know these things make me happy, you know?
Yeah.
But while I was thinking about this and like talking about, at least for me, I can't be the only one that's like a little afraid to be happy, right? Or do most people just like, or effortlessly can be content? Because I looked up some statistics and that's what it fucking seems like.
You know, I feel like as children, we have the capacity for more happiness because we are naive.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe in magic and we believe in the sort of the decency of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we sort of get that beaten out of us. Not every child has that because a lot of children have really rough upbringings. But
yeah.
I feel like the capacity is more, you know, because you see a movie when you're 7 and you get taken there and you live in that world and you fantasize and you're just like,
mm-hmm.
Woo. And as adults, we have a lot of that beaten out of us, and we're taught to be cynical and practical and not magical. So
ooh.
I feel like it's something we learn. But yeah, it's...
God, what great wording. We're taught to be cynical, not magical. Like, I love that. That's fucking genius. And it's so true. We're like, I think if you're someone that likes to joke around like I am and like likes to just say funny things and crack jokes, it's easy to be perceived as immature when I just like to have a good time and fucking laugh.
You know, one of the things I've noticed about you and I when we've been together and sometimes even on the show, we laugh a lot. And I think we both have cynicism about certain things, but we also just laugh a lot. And so I feel like it's a way to sort of plug into that childishness,
mm-hmm.
which is not juvenile. It's not like a bad thing. It's we've had that beaten out of us. And so be able to get to that just sort of childish, childlike joy about just making jokes,
mm-hmm.
just being silly, you know, that's something I think we need. And that's why, like, sometimes the dumbest comedies are the, you know, those like Airplane or Naked Gun or just the dumb comedy, scary movies that are just dumb. Those are some of the most fun things because they just take you to that primitive kind of silly humor that we liked as kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, like, you see, like, it is kind of like beaten out of us, but I looked up some statistics. I looked up what percentage of the world claims they're happy, right?
Yeah.
So 64 in a poll, 64% globally said they are happy.
Okay.
That's over half of the world is happy right now. And so they also broke it up to countries, and so 29% is Canadian as very happy. 28% is Saudi Arabia and India, and 27% is America and Britain. So it's interesting, like, to see globally it's over half, but if you look at some of these individual countries that are supposed to be the top ones, it's still a very kind of low fucking percentage.
Yeah. And I mean, it's weird because I always think if I was in Canada, I'd be happier because they have like health care and they seem to be not politically as crazy. But I think that just goes to show that every political system has problems.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever you live, you're going to find things to be happy and unhappy about.
Yep. And so on a scale of 1 to 3, the average for Americans is 2.18.
Now what? 2.8?
2.18. 2.18.
They say they're happy, with 3 being the happiest?
3 being the happiest, 1 being the most unhappy. It's about maybe just like slightly average. And they say the happiest time in your life is in your early 30s.
Wow, you're about to hit the happiest time in your life.
I am about to hit the happiest time of my life. Which, I mean, I don't know, kind of checks out. I think things are going pretty good, and I think that's why I'm a fucking afraid to be goddamn happy.
I would say that my happiest times were... And I'm not an unhappy person. Where am I youth? Because again, I think of the naivete and the belief in the goodness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believed a lot of the lies, you know, America's the best country, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, a lot of the things that have been taught to us, but there's some happiness in that because you're just like, I am in the best country. God damn it. And now it's like, it's just like, ugh. I'm not sure about that anymore.
Right. But do you want to know what the happiest, who is the happiest country?
Is it Denmark?
It's not Denmark, but it's Finland.
Finland, that's right.
They are the most happiest country in the world, and it sounds like they don't have any problems whatsoever.
They've taken care of a lot of the problems. But they do eat all that crazy fish.
Oh, yeah, that's true. How happy they are they really?
All those Scandinavian kind of countries eat the like lye-infested fish, and they, like, eat rotted shark blubber and stuff. That must be what makes people happy.
I guess, man. I mean, I don't know if people are just, like, they accept happiness as it comes and is grateful for it and shows gratitude then. And then it's just perfectly fine when it's gone, or
how? You know, it's sort of hard to be happy if you can't afford housing or food or shelter, you know. So, I mean, they take care of a lot of those problems.
Yeah, and a lot of these statistics, like, I don't fucking buy it for a second. Like, almost everyone I know is fucking miserable.
Yeah. And, I mean, there's different levels of misery, and there's different levels of poverty, and there's, like, you look at certain countries and you look at America, and even the poor in America have more than some people do in other countries. So, I mean, everything is sort of relative, but you're in what you're in. So, I mean, you compare yourself to what's around you. So, you know, there's way too many people that are being affected by poverty and food instability and housing instability, all the things that go in because we have so much. We have plenty here.
Yeah.
There's plenty.
And maybe,
you know,
maybe that's like my feeling of it is maybe it is like a little bit of being ungrateful. I don't know if it is or not.
I don't think it's we compare to what we have, and there is no reason for people in our city or anyone's city to be unable to eat or have shelter.
Mm-hmm.
So I read about this study that Canada did, And they they took a group of homeless folks and they just gave them cash. They gave them $7,500.
Okay.
And so what do you think they did with that money?
I'm sure some of them, I feel like none of them, like, I feel like they blew it.
See, that's our cynicism, right? That's what everybody predicted. But you know what they did?
What did they do?
They opened bank accounts. They got housing. They figured out how to better their lives. Almost all of them.
Oh, yeah. See?
And then it costs, so the $7,500 they gave them, keep them in housing was $15,000. So it pays for itself. Mm-hmm. But people say, oh, you give the poor money, they're going to go buy drugs with it, right? Or they're going to go buy a lobster. Mm-hmm. Or they're going to go buy a big TV or something. So it was just like, it basically, it's the idea that you're homeless because you've got some kind of fault.
Right.
Or you've got some kind of thing. And so it was interesting. So it was sort of a hopeful kind of thing of like, yeah, it's just resources. The problem, and my wife sometimes says, you know, there's a guy and he says, there's one big problem and why people are homeless. There's not enough housing. That's the problem. Housing is the problem. Mm-mm. It's the only problem. If there's enough housing that's affordable, people will not be homeless.
And there can be enough housing.
Oh, yeah. There's no need, reason there can't be. There's enough housing.
Yeah.
There's not enough affordable housing.
Yeah. It has to, like, and having a home shouldn't be a right. And that's what sucks. Maybe that's why I don't fucking know how to be happy. Because what is there to be? There are things to be happy for. But like when the basic struggle of like, of just human decency and right, like everyone deserves a home.
Yeah, everyone deserves a place to be safe in. Mm-hmm. Everyone deserves a safe place to lie down at night where they don't have to worry about their stuff being stolen. They don't have to worry about being heard. Mm-hmm. Everybody deserves that. And we have enough resources. We have enough.
Mm-hmm. We do have
enough. You know, I wonder, speaking of Finland, I wonder if they have holidays. You think?
Oh, more than likely, but I feel like they have the weird, like, blackface kind. Or maybe that's New
Amsterdam. Probably have, like, a fish-based holiday, like when the fish dropped out of the sky happy, and, like, ate the old people.
Yeah, happy fish day.
Happy rotten fish day.
I mean, it makes sense that they love fish so much. I mean, it's Finland.
That's true.
Like
that makes sense.
It's almost in the name.
I never even thought about it like that.
Mm-hmm. That's why you got to stay
woke. I mean, we talked a little bit before we started recording, and I think we came with one brilliant and obvious holiday that we need to add, and that's the day after the Super Bowl.
Yes.
That Monday after the Super Bowl should be off, a federal holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Everything should be closed except for the wings places and the sports book. The only thing that's allowed to be open those days is wing places and sports books.
Yes.
That's it.
It's all a holiday in order to catch up on all the commercials that play during the Super Bowl. We call it commercial day.
Yeah. Yes.
We go out to a sports bar, eat wings, and watch these weird, funny, super expensive commercials.
Yes. Yes, exactly. But I mean, that's an obvious one. I'm thinking what, like, maybe some other things that would be some good holidays that America could celebrate.
Let's see.
You know, this is not even a bad idea. The Super Bowl one's obvious, but Election Day should be a holiday.
Mm.
So because that way everybody could – sometimes people struggle to vote because they are working.
Yeah. So that'd be great if we could actually get off in order to go vote.
Yeah. So you were – but, I mean, you just close – you just make it a holiday. Then everybody could vote.
Then everyone can vote. Everyone can partake in the system. let's see.
But you know what?
Go ahead. Oh,
no, I was just gonna say something more cynical, but let's go on the we're trying to be positive here. So what are your thoughts on another holiday that America could have?
I think there needs to be, because there's such a long gap of days of federal holidays where you're off, where it's like, I don't know if it's between like September to fucking from May to September. It's like the summer. There needs to be a summer gratitude holiday where you just think, you know, you take the day off to just be fucking thankful.
We should have one holiday a month minimum.
One holiday a month?
Yeah, at least.
I'm intrigued by this.
I mean, so we've got Martin Luther King or President's Day in January. Mm-hmm. February, you got shit. You got Valentine's Day, but that's not a holiday.
And
but
they
like advertise it like a holiday and they sell it like a holiday, but there's no day off.
Mm-hmm.
Then March, you got nothing. Although sometimes, no, April is when Easter is. So you got Easter.
Yeah.
Then in May, you've got Labor or Memorial. August, you got, it's nothing. No, wait, May, June. You have Juneteenth now in the state, which I think is a good holiday.
But, like, not everyone recognizes that as a day off. Like, I wasn't off right for Juneteenth, but maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess that's just up to whoever, but fuck them.
Maybe Friday should be a holiday. Every Friday.
Yeah, instead of a 5-day work week, it'd be great if it was just a 4.
It would be great because it would be like you would be working a 40-hour week, but every Friday would be a holiday. Yep. So you'd only work 32 hours, and then every Friday is a holiday.
And you get paid.
Right? Yeah, you get the day.
You get the whole day.
And everybody should get them. Everybody should get holidays. That's not right. Like where we're gonna have the Kroger open or the Walmart open, right, or whatever.
I think
close it down.
I think there needs to be a fucking there needs to be like a service industry day.
Yeah, definitely.
For all the cooks and servers, this is for you. But we keep the fast food places open because they're not, fuck them.
The baconator. You need a baconator.
You need to be able to get a fucking baconator on service industry day.
So I don't know if you remember this. This is maybe an older person thing, but like there actually was nothing open on Christmas. Nothing open on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing for Thanksgiving. Nothing. I mean, nothing. No malls, no grocery stores, no even like gas. I mean, every now and then there'd be like one gas station open in the city, but stuff really shut down.
Jeez. But now, I mean, that's kind of still how it is around here, right?
Walgreens is open on holidays.
Are they open on Christmas? Kroger's.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So somebody's having to work. It's like, I may need some hemorrhoidal wipes on. I mean, and that is nice if you've got the hemorrhoids real bad, but you should plan ahead.
Well, it's like
you need to have a supply, you know, get the Costco big roll of hemorrhoidal wipes.
But I mean, like there's not a vast majority, but there's a lot of people that don't celebrate Christmas.
Yeah, but it's not about celebrating. It's just about letting people rest.
Like actually
rest. Can't we let people have a day to rest where it's like, we don't have to have a McDonald's hamburger. We don't have to have something.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
doctor's offices close, right?
Doctor's offices close, but they always have to have like someone on call, right? Like maybe like the non-Christmas.
Yeah, but they'll
guy.
Send you to the emergency room.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean,
we just don't rest enough. We need to have days of rest.
Yes, And that's what the weekend should be for, but that's really when people have to, like, get their house life stuff done, you know?
No, you get to do all your work because, like, banks and shit aren't open during your... I mean, it's just crazy. Mm-hmm. We should have a day of required rest, and if you don't rest, you get shot.
Ooh. Ooh, I like this totalitarianism fucking naps that we're enforcing on us. Yeah.
That's right.
If you don't fucking rest, you go straight to the gulag for the big nap.
You know, maybe being shot is a little too much, but why can't we have propaganda instead of, like, all the propaganda we have, like, resting is good for you, you know, rest more, you know, instead of, like, work 80 hours a week. Mm. Why can't we have positive propaganda that is, like, promoting healthy things?
You know, Jeff, you know? In a way, I kind of feel like this is positive propaganda.
Our show is positive propaganda.
I think so. I mean, we're encouraging individuality and, like, individuality with community. Be yourself. Yeah. Be your authentic self, and have a nice, refreshing can of Diet Hope if you feel like it. You know, like,
if people rested more, there'd be less hemorrhoids.
Mm-hmm. And if people, like, just used bidets more, there might be less hemorrhoids. And
I think the main thing about hemorrhoids, I think most of it comes from diet and stress.
Mm-hmm. And that ties in with being afraid of to be happy, to have, like, some cheer phobia.
Yeah,
because it feels stressful almost to be happy, but really you just have to accept it and take it as it comes, much like a hemorrhoid.
You know, if I was a doctor and you came into me and you said, "Doctor, I'm sad," I would write on a prescription slip, "Go get a Baconator."
With some crispy onions on it?
It's hard to be unhappy when you're crunching on that bacon. Now, you might go into a shame spiral after it.
Right.
But while you're eating it, it's hard to be unhappy. It's so crunchy and good.
And on that product placement note, Jeff, I think this has reached its logical conclusion.
I'm going to go get a Baconator,
man. Wendy's might still be open. You might be able to get... They stay open late.
That's true.
Any final thoughts on hemorrhoids, cheer phobia, fake holidays, the need for real holidays, and Baconators, Jeff? Anything?
I think we've said it all.
I think it's all been said. Again, thank you for listening as always. Without your support, we wouldn't be able to get Baconators.
That's right.
So from everyone here at Everything Is Traumatic, I'm Tyler.
I'm Jeff.
And please take care of yourself.